Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bull & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bull & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to B-O-L-L and branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
I'm Tim Fitzgerald of GoPowerCat.com.
And I'm Michael Swain of Fog.net.
This is a replay of WIBW show The Drive.
Here's this week's episode on the 24/7 Sports Podcast Network.
Good evening, Wildcat and Jayhawk fans, and welcome to The Drive, sponsored by Briggs Auto Group. I am Tim Fitzgerald of GoPowerCat.com. And the man across the studio from me is Michael Swain of Fog.net.
Hi.
Oh, man. Basketball season's over for us.
It is. The off season. Oh, wait. There is no off season college athletics anymore.
There's no off season at all, especially if there's another round of expansion. You can interact with us on social media at Facebook.com/TheDriveShow, on Twitter at TheDrive13. And, of course, answer our weekly poll question and make your game predictions on our Twitter page. And remember, if you ever miss an episode of The Drive, you can listen to an audio-only version that will appear each Monday morning in the form of a podcast at both GoPowerCat and Fog.net. And we'll start things off with our two-minute drill. This first segment of the two-minute drill is sponsored by Vanderbilt, your work boot center. Well, KU season came to a crashing end on Saturday in the round of 32 with a loss to Gonzaga. The Jayhawks held a one-point lead at halftime, but went on to lose 89-68. Ooh. Yucky. What went wrong for the Jayhawks?
Oh, Fitz, I think a lot of things, right? First and foremost, it's pretty clear that KU's legs just went in the second half. This is a team that, without Kevin McCullough playing in the NCAA tournament, they're even a man shorter, and Kevin played 35 minutes a game or more. So you're talking about a short team that was already had a short rotation that played Samford on Thursday night, who pressed for 40 minutes. And then the first half, right, of the game against Gonzaga, KU looked like they were in it. They had some legs after they got into the rhythm of the game. KU made 7 threes in the first half. That's as many as they made for most of the season. You think about Big 12 play, right? They made 7 threes in a game once against Oklahoma State, I believe. And after that, they didn't do it again. So KU looked like they were going to be able to put up the points requisite to win the game. But then in the second half, things really, really fell apart. Gonzaga, credit to Mark Few and the coaching staff there. They had a great game plan that took advantage of the way that KU guards ball screens and basically pulled KU apart. And KU had no answers for it. Hunter Dickinson, obviously playing with a dislocated shoulder, wasn't at his best. And as a result, things kind of just fell apart for KU. And Fitz, it's interesting. You look back over time and KU either goes really far in the tournament, wins the whole thing, or they crash out with a big-time loss. And that's exactly what this was. Outside of last year, you think back in previous years, right, a blowout loss to Auburn, blowout loss to USC, a blowout loss to Villanova, right? This has been a common theme. And so the actual end result of the game is not as much of a surprise considering that trend. But I still think watching this team fall apart in the manner that it did in the second half is a little bit concerning. Now, obviously for KU, right, it's starting of a big offseason. We'll dive into that in a little bit, but I think Hunter Dickinson deserves a ton of credit. Busted his butt to be able to go out there and play. Plays with a big, like, strap with his shoulder to keep it from falling out again. Like, he was a guy that battled and obviously did not look like he was at his best against Gonzaga, but look, he was huge for KU against Samford, and I think it deserves a ton of credit for being available to play.
Yeah, look, this season, we'll talk about it more. This season just didn't go as planned. Mm-hmm. It just went off the rails for both schools.
Yeah, it did. Well, Fitz, K-State's men's team lost to Iowa in the NIT this past week to end what has been a frustrating season. How should K-State fans feel about the year that was?
Probably the same way Jerome Tang feels, which is frustrated. This just wasn't a very good team because they never had their parts. They assembled a team, and I think still in the assembly of the team, there was a missing part and a really experienced guard. They say Quez Glover was that. He, of course, missed the season with a pair of knee injuries. As soon as he's coming back, he injured it again. But he never was a true point guard, and that's really what they lacked. But the whole Naquan Tomlin situation, which popped back up this week because the university president can't stop talking when asked a question about it by a reporter. He went on extensively and offered nothing new other than say he would have handled it differently. And, you know, it was a distraction from the very start. And I think it's a nice bookend that the president made sure he brought that back up right when recruiting was going on. This season was a mess. It just was. And K-State just lacks some critical pieces, including a 6'10 NBA guy that can shoot it from outside or dribble the ball, and a true point guard. I really think this season went off the rails when they lost Max Asemus in a recruiting battle with Texas. That's really the piece they needed to go with Tyler Perry so he could just be an off guard. And if you had Tomlin, I think this would have been a really good team. But that's not what happened. And now they get a chance to rebuild. They already have Cam Carter and Dorian Finister, two guards in the portal. Our Ryan Gilbert's reporting that's probably it. There might still be one. And it looks as of now that David Gasson is going to come back for his super senior season, which would be a huge benefit to K-State. Four open scholarships. They got some room to work, but they just need to reinvent themselves. And you know what I think Jerome Tang was thinking about the last half of the season or the last month of the season? Next year. Look, why wouldn't either coach think about that? Because their teams just weren't built the way either coach wanted them to be built.
Exactly. And Fitz, look, the transfer portal has been open for a week now, and teams are still playing college basketball.
Ridiculous.
It's definitely something that's pretty crazy, and I think this is going to be a huge offseason for Jerome Tang. You think about last year, can you take those lessons you learned from a Max Asemus recruitment? Can you, you know, turn that into something positive going forward, having more targets, different things? So I'm fascinated to see how this offseason unfolds for K-State.
Well, we're recording this on a Sunday night. Houston has not played yet, but we're going to say Houston and Iowa State looked great during the first weekend because if the Cougars lose, we're just going to shut down the show. We're not going to do any more this year. Michael, what are the odds both make it to the Final Four?
Well, I'd like to say they're pretty good. Like, but then you look at what Iowa State has to play in the Sweet 16. Yeah. It's going to be maybe one of the best Sweet 16 games in this entire tournament. You've got Illinois, which is the number one offense in KenPom, and Iowa State, the number two defense in KenPom. Like, it's going to be a fascinating game. And I think for Iowa State, the thing that has to give you some confidence, I think, going into that game is you think about some of the better offenses that they have played in the Big 12, and their defense has been pretty consistent in winning out in those contests. So from my perspective, right, if Iowa State is able to beat Illinois, then yeah, I've got a pretty good feeling about them in the Elite Eight on a short turnaround because they do play with so much depth and they have plenty of guys that they trust where they can withstand some foul trouble. They can withstand a guy having a bad night. I think that's really positive. Houston, again, we'll have to see how they do against Texas A&M, but let's say they win, right? They have the physical attributes to be able to play against anybody. And I think you can take that game to game and expect the same level from them game in and game out. So overall for me, like, I think the two teams should have a good shot. I would be surprised, I think, if the Big 12 does not have a team in the Final Four. But look, this tournament has been pretty crazy so far, so you can't rule anything out.
No, you can't. I mean, let's be clear. This has been a disappointing overall showing for this conference. But these are the two elite teams. So the farther Houston and Iowa State can get in the tournament, somehow both of them get to the Final Four, it'll say a lot about this conference. But you're right. Iowa State got stuck in the toughest bracket and now has to fight its way through some good teams in Boston to get to the Final Four. Houston, though, I love watching them play. Sometimes they bog down on offense, but this defense is unbelievable how they play. And as you mentioned, Michael, Iowa State's defense is even more effective at times. I think these two teams are absolute Final Four quality teams, but we know how the tournament works. It's not always the best team that advances. It's the one that survives, and you just don't know what's going to happen in March.
Exactly.
Now a quick look at your poll question results. The poll questions are brought to you by Midland Exteriors. Love the home you live in. Call today for a free estimate.
We might get cold takes exposed with this one, but last week's question was, how many Big 12 teams will make the second weekend?
Yes.
Seven or eight teams got 9% of the vote. 52% of people who voted on the poll thought four to six teams. 38% thought one to three, and 1% said zero. They're wrong, but good for you.
A wasn't even right after the first game. This week's question is, will a Big 12 team make it to the Final Four? You've got a vast array of choices. A, yes, B, no. Vote on our Twitter page at TheDrive13.
All right, that will do it for this half of the 2-Minute Drill. We'll be right back with more on KU and K-State here on The Drive.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Welcome back to The Drive, fueled by BriggsAuto.com.
Welcome back as we continue our weekly 2-Minute Drill. This segment of the 2-Minute Drill sponsored by Copeland Insurance Agency, part of your community for more than 60 years. Michael, well, KU, recently Bill Self's teams, when they lose in the second round, a big offseason ensues. Do you see the same thing happening this year?
I do, Fitz. That's a really good observation from you. You look back, right, after KU lost to Auburn, that offseason set up KU's 2019-20 team, right, that looked like they were going to go on and have a long NCAA tournament run before COVID. And then the last time KU got blown out was against USC. That sparked an offseason that saw KU land Remy Martin. They went on to win the NCAA title. Now, I'm not saying KU is going to win the title next year, but I think you're looking at this offseason being one that can have a lot of movement, and maybe not so much in the starting lineup, because KU will return DeJuan Harris, KJ Adams, and there's a very strong chance that Hunter Dickinson will return. So you're looking at KU returning at least three starters. Johnny Furphy could test the waters. He could not. I think there's a good chance that he is back as well. So KU could return four starters. But what's going to happen is KU needs to build depth. And obviously, they're going to have more scholarships available now to them because the NCAA punishments that they had for themselves, the reduction of scholarships, right, they'll only have to reduce one scholarship next season. So they'll have 12 slots. And then you're looking at it now. So KU needs to have a few things happen. They need to, I think, make sure that guys like Hunter come back and Johnny come back, because from there you can really build off that. Go get yourself, you know, a two guard or a big wing in the portal who can score, someone that can provide spacing. Maybe get a high school recruit like five-star Liam McNeely, who is a former Indiana decommit who is known for his awareness on both ends of the floor, high basketball IQ, but most importantly, his shooting ability. Shooting, shooting, shooting. That has got to be the number one priority for Kansas this offseason. We saw how bogged down things got for the Jayhawks this year when they didn't have shooting on the floor, and especially when Johnny Furphy went in a slump. KU next year has to have at least two shooters on the floor at all times if they're going to play DeJuan, KJ, and Hunter together. It also wouldn't shock me if we see some guys play less minutes. Bill Self spent so much of this season talking about how his guys need to play less minutes. Well, if you have a better bench, which KU should be able to develop in the transfer portal, there's a good chance you can have that. So, Fitz, there's a lot that can happen here, and there's a lot that, you know, could go both ways. So, yeah, I think it's going to be a busy offseason in Lawrence.
Yeah, the transfer portal changes everything, but we can get into that in a little bit.
That it does. Well, the K-State women lost to Colorado 63-50 at home on Sunday afternoon. How would you sum up the season for the Wildcat women?
It was a great season with an incredibly disappointing ending. And I don't just mean this game. The injury to Aoka Lee mid-Big 12 season just changed this team. And I thought getting her off the court and having them play, and they did pretty good without her, would help this team find an identity beyond her. But when they got her back, they just weren't the same. And it showed up again on Saturday at Bramlage Coliseum, or Sunday, excuse me. In a weird piece of trivia here, I started my basketball game covering games in a game in Las Vegas, but the first game I saw this season in person was Colorado women against LSU, the national champion, and they won that game. The last game I covered of the season is the Colorado women beating Kansas State. I think Colorado women probably need to hire me to cover them all the way to the Final Four, but I don't think they'll do that. Like, K-State was a good team this season. But I knew, because I had seen Colorado in person, that this was a bad matchup. They have a lot of bigs that they can rotate through to lean on Ayuka Lee, and they did a great job with that. And they also have some quick guards that K-State would have problems matching up with, and they did. K-State led at halftime with 35 points. They lost 63-50. So you can find reasons that K-State lost, including a really bizarre flagrant foul that was a common foul on Colorado turned into a flagrant foul on Serena Sundell because a player ran into her elbow. Not an elbow that was lifted, just an elbow. It was a weird call. And after being tied at that point, the next thing we know, Colorado's up by 10. It really changed the game. But when we come down to the end of it, K-State just couldn't score. They didn't have enough definition on offense, and Colorado did a great job taking away everything K-State likes to do on offense, including throwing the ball in low. It was a hard way to end, but it was a sold-out crowd in Bramlage Coliseum. It was really good for women's basketball. Congratulations to the Colorado women. You earned it, and now Kansas State basketball is officially done for the season. And now we step out of bounds, and Out of Bounds is brought to you by Darris Corner Market. We love local, and we are local for you.
All right, Fitz, let's give our honest assessments of the KU and K-State men's basketball seasons. I'll let you go first, because I want to hear what you have to say.
You really want my honest assessment?
I want your honest assessment, Fitz. Well, give it to me.
I have covered a lot of bad basketball teams at Kansas State. Ones that, and when I say bad, they didn't make it to the NCAA tournament. And I think that's the proper measurement. This was the most unenjoyable team I've seen in a long time. I just didn't like the way this team was put together. They turned the ball over way too much. They took bad shots. They didn't really ever carve out a full identity on either end of the floor. They looked like the team they could have been against Texas in the second half of the Big 12 tournament. And, Michael, they just kind of went in the tank the next game against Iowa State. Iowa State's exceptional. And then they laid down against Iowa, and I think Jerome Tang found some guys that just didn't want to be in the program anymore, and he's going to move them on. We'll see. The great thing about the portal is you can reload. You can get in there and get it done. They've got a great point guard coming in, David Castillo. The freshman that we're playing this year, led by Day Day Ames, was good. There are promising times ahead. This team was a pain to watch.
Ooh, I think KU fans would probably say that the KU team this year was a pain to watch at times as well. Look, I think it's one that goes all the way back to roster construction. The decision to take Artario Morris, who is no longer on the team and is facing criminal charges, like, there are decisions along the way that have shaped what this season was for Kansas, and things just didn't go KU's way. And look, I think they made the most of the season during non-conference play. You think about wins over UConn at home, Kentucky, Tennessee, but then the team just wore down, no depth. And in the end, it's at the end of a season that is going to go down as one of the worst under Bill Self, and they were still a four seed. It's just incredible the consistency that KU has had.
Yep, it is. Now let's hear from our fans. Our fan question is sponsored by Metal Arc. Retirement awaits in Manhattan, where you can live your way every day.
All righty, our fan question this week is, will Jerome Tang be the head coach at K-State next year? This is from Gene in Manhattan?
I don't think it's that Gene.
Oh.
But it could be. I mean, yeah. He probably is curious too. Hey, look, there's a lot of, you know, when this whole thing blew up initially, I thought there was no way. Jerome Tang absolutely loves Manhattan. He loves being at Kansas State. He wants to be there. The university president bringing up all this old crap from earlier in the year to right before the women played on Friday was just unbelievable. I don't think he'll leave, but the coaching carousel isn't done. Kentucky opens up. They're going to go possibly after Scott Drew, and then it's all on the table. We'll see what happens. My gut says, short of that, he will be back.
Well, remember to ask us your questions on our Facebook page and on Twitter at The Drive 13. When we return, we'll look at our predictions here on The Drive.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Welcome back to The Drive, fueled by BriggsAuto.com.
It is time to head down the home stretch of this week's show. And now let's take a look at our predictions. We don't want to, but they are brought to you by Kites. Meeting your friends at Kites since 1954. Remember to make your weekly predictions on our Twitter page at The Drive 13. And we won't have a show next week or for a while, but we'll still look at them. Let's look at last week's results.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Either the show's done for the season because the teams have lost, or these picks caused cancellation for the rest of the year. Like, nobody wants to see these offers. But I'd like to congratulate the winner of the season.
That was me. Oh, that's you. That's me. Man. Well, look, my job might be in the line. I'm not sure if I'll be here, considering how poorly these picks went for me.
Like my season went about the same as yours last year. Okay, here are this week's picks. We'll start with Creighton versus Tennessee. Tennessee's a 2.5-point favorite. I got Creighton in my Final Four. I got to pick them.
I'll take Tennessee. That double overtime game against Oregon. Scary.
Yeah.
All right, next up is going to be Purdue against Gonzaga. We've got Purdue as a 5.5-point favorite. Gonzaga was good against KU. I think Purdue is crazy good, so I'll go with Purdue.
I'm just going the upset here. I'm going to take Gonzaga, but I still got 5 points to play with. Here, our last game of the week is Iowa State versus Illinois. Iowa State from the Big 12. Illinois coached by my friend Brad Underwood. It is a pick 'em, but I'm picking Iowa State. Sorry, Brad.
Yeah, I'll pick Iowa State, too. Let's roll with the Big 12 teams here, Fitz.
I totally agree with you. Again, make your picks on our Twitter page at TheDrive13. And now it's time for our On the Clock segment. On the Clock is sponsored by Carpet One, by local for a strong local community. And we start with Michael Swain of Fog.net.
I'd love to give some credit to Travis Goff for what has been a pretty incredible 12 months and first few years in Lawrence. I think you think back to last fall and the way the season played out for KU football. That's Travis Goff's football hire. That has played out so well with Lance Leipold. You drive around Lawrence right now, Fitz, there's tons of construction going on. Football stadium is torn down. They're starting to build that thing back up. You go to Allen Fieldhouse, parts of it are shut down right now, Fitz, because they are rebuilding certain parts of Allen Fieldhouse and renovating it to make it better. And then you look at some of the on-court things that have happened, right? KU basketball, getting Bill Self signed to another lifetime contract. Lance Leipold signing another contract. But Fitz, you look at some of the non-revenue sports as well, though. Brandon Schneider has led the women's basketball team to the NCAA tournament. You look at the KU baseball team getting a huge sweep series win over TCU, their first over a team ranked that high since 2014. Women's softball team is doing well. Women's soccer has a new coach. Like, a lot of positive things, Fitz, are happening around Kansas athletics right now. And I think Travis Goff deserves a ton of credit for all that work.
Well, my message isn't quite so uplifting. Although the Kansas State baseball team has won 9 straight and just swept Houston, so I think that's notable. But what's more notable is the university president can't stop talking. And you know what? He's got every right to do it, but let's keep in mind when this whole Naquan Tomlin situation happened before the season or early in the season, they issued a statement saying there'll be no further comment on this topic, and President Richard Lenton commented 3 more times, including this past week to the Manhattan Mercury. When no comment was needed, like Gene Taylor, the athletics director, said no comment, he went on the record and continued to speak about these things. I don't even understand. The man has no self-restraint. He can't stop himself from talking about things and damaging his own university. He says these things right before the women are hosting an NCAA tournament and right as the transfer portal opens up and gives opposing schools plenty of fodder to use against Jerome Tang, because it's apparent the university president doesn't have his back. And when a university president doesn't have someone's back, they're probably going to leave. I don't think Jerome Tang's going to leave right now, but this guy better pull it together, because he is threatening a coach that K-Staters love and a program that was moving in the right direction until he interceded. That's it for this week's show. That's it for the season. Thanks you for watching all season long, and keep with us on social media, and we'll talk to you next year.
From the world of Sonic the Hedgehog, a new hero arrives.
I am
ready. Is there anyone stronger?
No.
Tougher?
No.
Funnier?
I do not make jokes. I make warriors.
Knuckles, now streaming only on Paramount+.
Yes!